You think Paul had to learn how to stand?
Anybody did.
I think he did.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you? If he wasn't a stander, we wouldn't have any of that.
Right.
He wouldn't have made it to Rome, let alone anywhere else. But he was rocked to death a couple of times before that. You know, literally. And God raised him up. But you got to study to find that out, but he did.
Mm-hmm.
There's all kinds of things happened to Paul. This story is not just about Jesus. It's not just about what Jesus done, and not just about what God done. It's what God done through people.
That's right.
And he's still doing it. That's the story. It's not. It's what the relationship between God and his man. He wants that. He wants that relationship with his man. And he's not limited to my ability.
Hallelujah.
That's what's exciting to me. Just because I think I can't do it doesn't matter.
That's right.
All he's got to have is a willing heart. We can do it.
That's right.
The only thing that stands between me and doing it and completing it is myself.
Right.
God's not limited to it. I need to remember that. He's not limited to my ability.
Right.
Matter of fact, if I limit him to my ability, then he can't move in certain areas.
Right.
He's looking for somebody that can't do it. How many people do you know that'll hire somebody that can't do the job? Believe it or not, I was hired when I couldn't do the job.
Yeah, that's right.
I was hired. The job I've got right now, I told the guy that I couldn't do it. I said, well, Fred, I don't know anything about insurance. He said, I didn't ask you that. Well, Fred, I don't have much education. He said, I didn't ask you that. What he asked me was, do I want to go to work for him? And I had a ton of excuses, didn't I? I was telling the man I'm not qualified. He said, wait a minute before you go anywhere any further. He said, I'm here asking you if you want this job because God told me to.
Amen.
And he said, first of all, if you did know something about insurance, I couldn't hire you because you wouldn't understand us. And we'd have to retrain you because we do things different than anybody else.
Sure.
You would not be able to do the job if you had knowledge of it. And he said, besides that, you've already got the first qualification for this job. You know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And old Fred would talk to you 2 hours about God and 10 minutes about your qualifications.
Right.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So I didn't qualify for this job. And as a matter of fact, my boss may get this tape, but I'm going to tell you it anyways. Because it's the truth of the thing. And I've thought about this several times.
He's going to get this tape.
With the qualifications that are in our company right now, I still don't qualify. And they would not hire me.
That's right.
Because I would not qualify. I think about that every now and then. I mean, I would not pass all the tests and things that they do. Now, I do pass them because God put it in me.
Right.
But don't let your ability stop you. It didn't stop Paul. It didn't stop Timothy. It didn't stop any of those guys. It didn't stop Stephen.
Peter.
It didn't stop Peter. I'm a fisherman, Lord. I talk mean. I'm mad half the time. You know, I don't qualify. Well, I'm a tax collector, Lord. They'll never listen to me. Well, I've been a thief and a robber. I kill people. That's Paul's qualifications. I kill people. Matter of fact, I kill your people. Said I... That's not what I'm talking about. You have one qualification, a heart that's ready.
That's right.
You know, a heart that's willing. And that's what we need to remember. We don't have to qualify in the natural, we qualify in the spiritual. And he looks at the heart, not the head. You know, he can change your head if he can change your heart. And that's what we need to remember. And somebody's hearing that on the highway, God can change your head if he can change your heart.
Amen.
Don't look at your ability to do anything or your inability. He can change your heart if he can change your head.
Mm-hmm.
We've been talking about stand therefore. And this is important. That's an important point to remember. If you're going to stand, you need to know that he can change your head if he can change your heart.
Amen.
And all I have to do is get to the place where I'll position myself to be changed.
Right.
I got to be willing to be changed.
Mm-hmm.
When he comes in, when you get saved, you come in with zero. You know? I mean, all you come in with is filth and sin and separation from God and the problems of your life and all kinds of things. He said, well, God, I don't qualify. He said, I didn't ask you that. He doesn't care if you qualify. Are you a man? Yes. Fred asked me that way, didn't he? I said, Fred, I don't have an education. He said, can you write? I said, well, yeah, I can write. Can you write your name? Yes. He said, then you qualify. glory to God. I'm my kind of guy. What kind of interview was that? You know, I still really haven't filled out an application after 19 years.
They sent you a couple.
Yeah, I filled out an information form later, 10 years later? An information form. He only put my name, address, and phone number. Glory to God. But see, that's what God does. He says, you don't meet any of the qualifications as far as doing the job of a child of God. That's why you got to get born again. You don't qualify. You have one qualification. You breathe and you're a man or woman. You're a man species, so you qualify. Do you have hurt and lack and sickness and disease? Are you separated from God? Have you lost your marriage? Have you killed somebody? Have you murdered somebody? Raped somebody? You child molester? Whatever it is. Are you nuts? Then you qualify. Isn't that good news? You qualify. What's the qualification? Come. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden. The only place in the world you can come with your troubles and leave without them.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Now, you may go back in the same mess you left, but thank God, before you didn't have an answer and you were going down, now you're going up.
Amen.
You're down as far as you're going to go because you've got the answer now.
Oh, Jesus.
You know, I like that one verse that says it'll settle you to a landing place.
Amen.
You know, and I forget which one it is. The Amplified talks about that. But when I think about that verse, I think about that landing place. What's that mean? It means when you settle in a landing place, you're not going any further.
Amen.
That's as far down as you're going. From that point up, everything's better.
You
know,
give you anything you can't.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
With every temptation, he gives you a way out. That don't mean you want the way out, but he always makes a way of escape.
That's right.
There's always a way of escape. There's no such thing as somebody that's locked in and cannot get out.
That's
I don't
right.
care what you've done, you can get out.
Amen.
Do you realize, and most people don't like it, but Judas had a way out.
That's right.
He could have repented. He could have repented and changed
that's
his
right.
way.
Yes.
Even though he was responsible for that.
Mm-hmm.
And what a story that would have been.
Amen.
Oh, man. But instead, somebody else had to take his place. You know, that's and Peter. He blew it, man, same way Judas did.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit different information there, but the same basic thing. But he repented.
Mm-hmm.
See, there's the difference in the two. God even gave him a special chance. He gave him three times to say, Jesus, I love you. Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. Because he denied him three times.
Mm-hmm.
See, God's that way. He always makes a way. That's the way they call him the way, the truth, and the life. His middle name is the way. You know, the way. If you have no way, he is the way. Glory to God. Well, we've been talking about stand therefore. And that's an important ingredient in standing is knowing that he is the way.
Amen.
Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. And we'll read our scripture we've been working on for, this is number 13, I believe, isn't it? I think it's 13. And we're just first getting into Ephesians 6. I didn't know there was that much involved, really, until I started talking on it. But this has been, to me, we've been going over these again to get them out for a living word for the road. And not because it's me doing it, because I can really hear the voice of the Father in it.
Amen.
And there's some people that can really be helped. I believe it with all of my heart that it's God teaching his people.
Amen.
And if we know how to stand and what's involved in who we are and who he is, we can go free.
Amen.
And see, that's the important thing to remember, that you can go free.
Hallelujah.
Don't let something you've done 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 2 minutes ago keep you from the mercy and grace of God. Last Tuesday we talked about mercy. To me that was, I didn't know all that was in mercy either.
Mm-hmm.
I liked Tuesday night. I really did. That I want to listen to that one again because I love mercy. Study mercy of God sometime. That's what the whole story is. That's why I said we talked about the mercy seat. And how come he put the mercy seat on the very top of the Ark of the Covenant? That's what he was trying to get across to man. Mercy. The whole thing is mercy. I want to go into that. Let's start at Ephesians chapter, well, I do, but let's go into Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, where we're going to start at. We'll just read that. In conclusion, be strong. Now, I said that when I taught about being strong in the Lord, when it says be strong, it means that he's telling you to do it. Mm-hmm. And if he's telling you to do something, it means you can be.
That's right.
There's no such thing, well, Lord, I'm so weak, I can't do that. Yes, you can. If he said be strong, then he's made a way for you to be strong. That's a commandment. It's not a suggestion. Well, I suggest now that you get up and be strong. No, he's not telling you to do it on your own. He's telling you, be strong. I'm giving you the authority to do it. I'm giving you the way to do it. If you'll give him my word, you can be strong. Amen. Do it my way, you can be strong. Amen. That's what he's telling you. He never gives you a commandment to do something if he doesn't give you the ability to carry it out.
That's right, exactly.
And when he says, be strong, you can look at that and say, okay, God, you said be strong. Teach me how to be strong.
Amen.
And he'll teach you how. Now, you'll have to get into the Word. You'll have to get into tapes. You'll have to throw away some old doom and gloom and misery me. I'm an old worm tapes that you got.
That's right.
But throw some of that out and get into the Word and somebody teaching you who you are in Christ and what
yes.
the Word says about it and how to get a hold of it. Some of those old faith teachings.
Amen.
Find out who you are in Christ and you can be strong.
Amen.
If he says you can be strong, you can be strong.
Amen.
So every time you see something like that, if he says, be this or do this, you can take it to the bank, you can do it.
That's right.
You may not want to do what's required to do it, but you can do it, or he wouldn't say do it.
Exactly.
Just remember that. Okay, in conclusion, be strong. How? In the Lord. So you're going to have to go to him to be strong. In the world, you can't be strong.
Right.
But in him, you can be. Be empowered, and I like the way the Amplified puts it. It kind of breaks down what he's talking about in the rest of this verse, about being strong in the Lord. The Amplified says, be empowered through your union with him. Draw your strength from him, that strength which his boundless might supplies.
Amen.
So the strength is available, but it's come from him.
Amen.
So it speaks of relationship, doesn't it? You've got to have the relationship to get the strength. So he's done, he's already went as far as he can go. He's not being mean and saying, well, you just come over here and then I'll do something for you. He's not saying that. He's went as far as he could go. He can't go any further than that cross. He's made the way. He's put everything in place. Now, I've got to lift the fork, put it in the pudding, the fork in the pudding, put the spoon in the pudding, and put it to my mouth. In order, I've ate pudding with the fork before. It just don't work too good. You've got holes in it. But you know, spoon and get it to your mouth. You got to put it in and take it in. That's the job you have. But he's made everything available. So yes, you do have to come. You have to turn from where you were and turn to him. But in doing so, then you authorize him.
Yes.
So you got to authorize him to do this. Put on. There's another action on your part. God's whole armor, the armor of a heavy armed soldier, which God supplies, that you may be able successfully to stand up against all the strategies and deceits of the devil. So he says you will be able to if you put this armor on. You put it on, then you do the standing. You don't put it on and stand there and then things happen. No, you put the armor on, you move inside the armor.
Amen.
You know, there's something you have to do. People don't like that gospel. They like this one, well, I got born again now, Lord. I come. I received you as my Lord and Savior. And I'm going to sit right here and just go for it, God. That's not the way it is. He empowers you to go.
Amen.
You see, you're his feet. You go. You find there's a lot of you goes in the Bible. That's a car too, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that the name of a car, you go?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it is. Well, that's not what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That was a junk car, really what it was. Well, I don't mean that. Forgive me that. It wasn't one of the high-class models, okay? It was a you go, okay? The economy model. For we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents. So you've got to identify, we talked about earlier, you've got to identify your enemy. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents. So you've got two kinds of opponents. So it only means you've got more than one. You've got a physical opponent, but he's not your real enemy. Your enemy is a spiritual enemy. You've got to deal with it in the spirit.
Amen.
But against the despotisms, I'm getting better, against the despotisms, against the powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spirit forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural sphere. Therefore, put on God's complete armor. Don't leave any pieces out. Put it all on, that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day of danger. And having done all the crisis demands, a crisis demands certain actions on your part, right? If it's a crisis, you're going to have to act here. So it's a crisis. Do all the crisis demands. In other words, do your part, whatever is available for you to do in the crisis. Whatever you know to do, do that. All the crisis demands to stand firmly in your place. So don't move from your place. Find where your place is that God's got you to stand. Find out what ground you're standing on, which is the Word in Him. Stand on it and don't move from the place.
Amen.
Don't be moved away from it. Don't let the deceits and the strategies of the enemy move you off of your stand on the Word.
Amen.
Don't let your the things of this world, the anger that's coming at you, the resentment that's coming at you, the things the enemy sends your way, temptations and everything else, don't let those move you off. Doctrinal issues and things like that will move you away from your stand. Find the promise, accept it, receive it, do everything that your duty requires, and stay where you are. Every time you start deciding, well, it's getting too hard, get back on it.
Amen.
It's not too hard because He said you can stand.
Right.
You may not want to, but you can, because He said you can.
Amen.
And when you make that decision to stand, He comes in and reinforces you.
Hallelujah.
And teaches you the things you didn't know. As you go, as your heart decides to do it, as you make the decision to, He'll teach you through His Spirit, by your Spirit, to your head, and which will teach you.
Amen.
And you'll know how to stand. He'll put people in your path.
Hallelujah.
This sermon's going to go to people on that highway, and here locally too, places over the next years, to people that are going to have trouble. That's why we're spending so much time on it. We may need it ourselves.
That's right.
We may need to know how to stand. We probably will. We're in a church here, a church of the living Word, and we're teaching some things that people haven't heard before.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you've got to stand.
Amen.
So it doesn't make especially if you're on the front line, that's what you're there for. That's the place you're going to stand.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not laying back in the back 40 back here, just relaxing on constant R&R, if you're not back there, then you better be ready to stand.
Amen.
And if you'll stand, you won't have to stand against Him very long. He'll leave.
That's right.
Because your stand, when you're standing on the Word, He does the battle for you. That's the neat thing about it. Stand, verse 14, stand therefore, hold your ground, having tightened the belt of truth. That's what we're going to talk about today. Having tightened the belt of truth around your loins, and having put on the breastplate of integrity and of moral rectitude and right standing with God, and having shod your feet in preparation to face the enemy with the firm-footed stability, the promptness, the readiness produced by the good news, the Word. So it's going to produce something. The Word produces something. A product of the Word is peace. That's one of the products of it.
Amen.
And your feet are shod with that. Why your feet? Because that's what's taking you places.
Amen.
You know, that's what's on your feet. Guys, if you got a wrong pair of boots on, or no boots, and you're out there trying to fight, and your feet are hurting, you know, you're going to have trouble standing. But if you're standing firm, matter of fact, if you're that guy climbing the mountain, you better have the right shoes on. Your shoes will make or break you. And that's why he's saying you're firm-footed. It's just, there's times when you've got to push against that shoe and know it's not going to tear apart when you're standing on it. And you're pushing against that enemy. You're doing something against him with the weapons that you have, and that foot is holding you. You know, so you need a firm foot, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So the Word itself is your firm footing. You're standing on it, it's firm, it's not going to move. If you're standing on concrete and you got a good pair of shoes on and they're gripping and they're pushing at you, you're standing, you're not going to move.
Amen.
But if you're standing in sand, he can scoot you no matter how firm you want to stand.
That's
going to scoot you back in that sand. There's no, there, things are not joined that you're standing on. No traction. So we need to be sure, and we're going to talk about that later on. I got ahead of myself. But anyways, that when you see these things, he's telling us, there's a reason he's telling us about body armor. And he's telling us what these things are. If I know peace is doing will do that for me, then I got to fight for my peace.
Amen.
I told a lady that in a kind of an angry way one time. I said, sometimes you got to fight for your peace. That's what I told her, just like that. And when I said it, whew, that's a revelation in and of itself. Who do you fight for your peace? Yourself.
That's right.
You fight your own emotions. You fight your own attitudes. You fight those things around you, those opportunities to get mad when you shouldn't have. You know, you have to fight yourself sometimes to maintain that peace.
Especially if people are bugging you.
Exactly. And don't you think the enemy won't send you somebody to get you off your peace because he knows that's what's holding you to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And if he can weaken your peace, he can scoot you back. You see, so sometimes you've got to fight for that, especially if you're in a place where there's a constant turmoil. Sometimes you've got to say, look, I'm not losing my peace. I'm not going to lose my peace. I refuse to get mad at that person. Sometimes you just got to get tough with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get tough with yourself, you'll find a joy that'll creep up. And the guy's over there just fuming. He's throwing everything mad and everything. And you're just standing there, nothing happening. I mean, he's thinking, she's not getting mad. He's not getting mad. Aren't you mad at me? No. I don't have to say nothing, do you? And, you know, I found out something. I told my kids one time. I said, you know, it takes two to fight. And if you're not fighting, that's only one. Eventually, and he's not got any ammunition because his ammunition comes from what you say or do.
That's right.
Have you ever noticed in a fight, you're trying to get your point over, they're trying to get theirs over, and they're busy pointing out what you did 10 years ago. Or the last time. And you're pointing out what they did. So that's ammunition for them because every time they say something, you've got to counteract. You got to come against it again with something else. Well, have you ever noticed if you don't do that, they run out of things to say? Because you're not giving them any ammunition. See, so I like that because when I thought, I said, sometimes it takes two to fight. If you don't fight and the other one is, eventually he's going to run out of ammunition. He's going to quit. Run out of gas. So the fight stops. So see, if you'll maintain your peace, you'll get stronger and the person you're fighting with will get weaker. Because eventually he's going to run out of ammunition. Okay, I don't mean to say all that, but that's important for us to remember. Somehow I got on peace instead of on truth. I better go on. That's in our future here. Verse 16, lift up over all the covering shield of saving faith. So over all of this, over everything, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, the feet shod, the truth, all of that you lift up the shield of faith over it. So faith is involved in every bit of this. Upon which you can quench all the flaming missiles of the wicked one. So faith will quench those missiles tending against you. In other words, put them out. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, the sword that the Spirit wields, which is the Word of God. So what's the Spirit going to use? What's the sword? The Word.
Amen.
Who's going to do it, do the job with it? He is, the Spirit.
Hallelujah.
He's the one that cuts it, but you've got to speak it.
Amen.
Once you speak it, He uses it. Okay? And take verse 18, pray at all times. So when do you pray?
All times.
Well, I can't do that all the time. Your lifestyle is a prayer.
That's right.
Every time you speak God's word over someone and say His word, you're praying.
Yes.
You don't say, oh, please God. That's fine. But all you really have to do is have an attitude of prayer wherever you go. Constantly
yes.
Looking for somebody to bless, somebody to lift up before the Lord. You see somebody in a wheelchair, it's, Father, I just speak a blessing over him. I just ask your blessing on his life. I ask you for healing and revelation of your word. If he doesn't know you, you can do that just as you go. Just watch for opportunities. It's more of an attitude to pray, of a lifestyle of it, than having to remember to pray all day long and do nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
You can pray and stand at that job where you're just going choo-choo, choo-choo all day long at that factory where you're just a punch a part or something. You can pray right there. So well, ain't going to nobody to pray for, nobody around but me. That's the best time to pray.
Amen.
Think of those parts. They're going to somebody. Somebody's going to buy that. It's going to go into a machine. Something's going to happen to it. Somebody's going to buy it, sell it, take it somewhere. It's going to help somebody. Think of those things. A lot of times you can be praying off around the world in your spirit. That's a good thing about tongues. If you pray in tongues, I said something. If you pray in tongues, you can do that and keep concentrating on what you're doing.
Amen.
And have no problem. Your spirit's praying.
Amen.
You know, I love that. So, anyways, pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season. So don't ever stop praying just because it gets tough. In every season means when it's storming as well.
Yep.
In every season means all the time. Be ready for it all the time. A constant, basically what prayer is communication with God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's basically what it is. And what is he going to hear from you? He's going to hear his word.
Amen.
So what should you be talking to him about? His word. He's going to hear your praise. He's going to hear his word. That's what he's going to hear. On every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. To that end, keep alert, watch, and with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding in behalf of all saints, God's consecrated people. And then Paul adds this, and every pastor should, and we should do it for our president, our pastor, or people in our family, heads of our household, whatever, and pray also for me, that freedom of utterance may be given me, that I may open my mouth to proclaim boldly the mystery of the good news of the gospel. If you don't pray for your pastor, he can't speak. He can speak limitedly. He can do a lot better job if you're asking for utterance from him. And I pray that over you too, to speak the word boldly.
Amen.
Glory to God. So we're going to concentrate on the truth end of it. But I do have a few comments before we get there. Not to hurry, too. Let's see. When it says, withstand in the evil day, what verse is that? So I go back to it. I think it's verse 11, isn't it? King James, yeah.
No, it's not.
13, yeah, okay. Therefore, put on God's complete armor that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day of danger. Okay? That on that evil day, it means that you're going to have to put up a resistance, like I've already said. There will be an evil day.
Mm-hmm.
It comes to some of us sooner than others. But there is an evil day. There's problems out there. You know, you're going to run into problems and situations and strategies of the devil. There's going to be things happen. And there is a real evil day coming when you're not able going to be able to do this very much. Matter of fact, we won't be here. We'll be gone. So there is, and the closer and closer it comes to the time of the coming of the Lord, the more evil we're going to see. So on the evil day, there is a day when you're going to have to resist. And in James chapter 4, what's it say there? Who knows? James chapter 4, 7. Let's find out. Because he talks about resistance there. This is where the majority of our problems come from, is because we don't resist. James chapter 4, verse 7 says, so be subject to God, resist the devil, stand firm against him, and he will flee from you. So who does the fleeing? He does, not you.
Right.
The image, if the picture of, is you're standing facing your enemy, the devil. You're standing here, he's standing there. One of you is going to have to move. Now, if I'm resisting him, he won't stay long. But if I'm not, he can walk right over me.
Mm-hmm.
How do I resist him? I resist him with the word.
Amen.
The name, the blood, and the word, and they love not their lives unto death.
Amen.
In other words, you lay your own life down.
Yes.
You stand firm in the word. You use the authority in the name. You stand on the covenant, the shed blood. The name, the blood, and the word, and the laying down of your life, and he will flee. He cannot stay in that. See, he's a defeated foe, and if you stay there that way, the presence of the Father comes in his fullness, and he can't stay in the light. He's darkness.
Right.
See, that's the way you resist the devil. You don't resist him with your own strength. You resist him with the name, the blood, and the Word. That's why it's so important to be constantly in the Word and standing your ground with the Word. That's why you do it. When you do that, it's not that He's afraid of you. He can't handle the pressure of the Word.
That's right.
He cannot stay there.
Amen.
And that's why it says in 1 John 5, verse 14 and 15, about the prayer, let's just read it. I want to move on here. I'm not going to get to my truth. Might have to do it next week. But this is so important for us to realize. Let's go down to 18 and then back up to the other one. 1 John 5:18, it says, "We know absolutely that anyone born of God does not deliberately and knowingly practice committing sin." So he's going to try to avoid it. He's going to try to keep his life right. He's working on his life. "But the one who was begotten of God carefully watches over and protects him. Christ's divine presence within him preserves him against the evil, and the wicked one does not lay hold or get a grip on him or touch him." King James says that wicked one touches him not.
Amen.
He that keeps himself, that wicked one touches him not.
Amen.
Verse 18 of 1 John 5. I like that. He that keeps himself, that wicked one touches him not. Well, if I'm allowing the Word to work, I'm standing in the name, the blood, and the Word, I'm keeping myself in the Word, then he has to flee.
Amen.
Because, see, that's the same thing there. He's saying, he that keeps himself, that wicked one touches him not. He can't touch him because it doesn't mean you won't have problems. But the problem won't have you.
Amen.
See, you'll have the authority over it, and he'll give you the answer for it, and you'll be able to walk through it.
Amen.
Because he cannot destroy you. He cannot hurt you because you are keeping yourself.
Amen.
You're keeping yourself in the Word. You're keeping yourself. You're correcting yourself as you go. He has nothing in him. And then we got to remember also the same way that part of our weaponry that we use is prayer. We read earlier, well, what is real prayer? Real prayer is the Word of God. Speaking the Word. That's real prayer. You find a promise and speak it. Declare it and receive it. Up in verse 14, in 1 John 5:14, it says, "And this is the confidence, the assurance, the privilege of boldness which we have in Him. We are sure that if we ask anything, make any request according to His will, in agreement with His own plan, He listens to and hears us." Verse 15, "And if since we positively know that He listens to us in whatever we ask, we know with settled and absolute knowledge that we have granted us as our present possession the request made of Him." So we got two things going there for us when we're standing. We find the Word, speak the Word, and believe it. He says He heard me. I don't have to talk Him into it. I don't have to get His ear. All I got to do is find the Word and speak it and receive it and stand there.
So much of that grass heaven thing.
Exactly. If you found the Word and you're speaking it and you believe it, He heard it.
Amen.
That means you have it right then. It's not a future thing. It's right now. It's yours right now. So when you're standing in that promise and standing in that Word and you're facing your devil and your enemy and you're standing that ground on that sure-footed ground of that Word you've established like we just read there, and he tries to come against you, that stand that you just took in that Word, you know you have it.
Amen.
Because he heard you. It's his Word.
Right.
So when you know that and you're settled in that and he's trying to come, what's the enemy trying to do? He's trying to get you to get off of that stand on that Word
right.
that you received.
Mm-hmm.
To say, well, do you really believe you have it? Do you see it yet? Is there any evidence at all that anything happened? I mean, after all, you've been doing this for 25 years. And I mean, you haven't seen anything yet. And there's John down there, and he done it. And there's Ethel, they done it. And they're the worst problems now than they were then. Well, maybe it's... But it says... Well, I know it says that, but that's not really what it means. You know what your church teaches. That church that you go to teaches that, you know, it's not for today. And after all, you haven't kept on keeping on begging him, have you? And you got to talk him into it, don't you? I mean, if you keep on talking, maybe you'll convince him somewhere down the road. But I mean, look at who you are.
Right.
Look what you done last night. I mean, yeah, you went to God and you told him about what you did, but do you think it works that quick? I mean, after all, you still remember it, don't you? If you really forgave it, you wouldn't even remember it, would you? See, that's the way the devil does. He's trying to move you off of your stand. And if he can move you off of that promise, he's resisted you. And you've done the fleeing. And see, the very thing he's talking about is going to get bigger and deeper.
Right.
And you're going to have to gain that ground back again. But when you say, the word says, that's all you have to say. You don't have to say anything else. If you're established in it, you don't have to white knuckle it through it. You just simply position yourself and believe it.
Amen.
You've got to have the Word of God with the highest authority. If you have to get your Bible open 25 times to be sure that that's what it says, do it. Quote it. Go to it. Read it. Speak it out. He won't stay there long. He can't. He can't stand in the light of the truth.
Amen.
How did Jesus resist him? He resisted him with the word.
Amen.
And that's the way you're going to have to do it.
Yep.
And that's what he did in the wilderness. And every time he came back, it is written. Well, that was Old Testament, and I mean, this is God's Son. Why did he have to use something somebody else wrote? It is His Word. It's God's covenant Word in the earth, written by the Holy Spirit. That's what He was operating on. Jesus was operating on the Abrahamic covenant. That's why He spoke it. He was operating as a man with full rights as a man, without sin, and He was speaking the Word. That's what He worked, what He used to establish. And you're going to have to do the same thing. That's what you resist Him with. Having done all to stand is the next thing. So the word in Ephesians there says, having done all to stand. Have you done all to stand? Have you? Ask yourself, have I done all? Ephesians 6. Well, first of all, ask yourself how big as you want to. If your want to is big enough to keep on standing, you won't stand that long.
Right.
The things will move, you won't. One of the things that affects our stand is our own words, but forgiveness is a major thing that the enemy uses against our stand. Mark 11:25 says what? He points it out here very clear to us, and we ought to see how important it is. First, Jesus goes in, the word goes, well, Jesus does, goes into in 23 and 24, he tells them, speak to your mountain, and that you'll have it, but then most people stop with that because they like the sound of it. And it does sound good, and it's great scripture. Speak to your mountain. Talk to it. What you pray and you receive, you'll have. Oh, that sounds good. But they skip 25. And 25 says, and whenever you stand. Now what we're talking about, stand there for, right? Verse 25 of Mark 11 says, and whenever you stand. So forgiveness is directly related to your ability to stand. If you don't do it, you can't stand. It's just that simple. The other things, no matter what you try to use, it will be limited because its effectiveness is related to our ability to forgive.
Amen.
And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, now does that leave anything out? It doesn't say, except for these guys that do this to you. Now, I understand that. And if they've done that to you, you won't have to worry about that one right there. I mean, after all, they're dead or whatever. I'll overrule that. You don't have to forgive that. But now, they've done this yesterday since 11 o'clock, and you better forgive that one. But those 25 years ago, forget those. Not what it says. Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. I love the way the King James says it because it really puts it pointed. Let it drop. Leave it. Let it go. What's that mean? What it says. Whatever the problem is, wherever the unforgiveness is, no matter what it is, he killed my daughter. It doesn't matter what it is. He raped me. He's responsible for my marriage and my kids going that way. Doesn't matter. Let it drop. leave it, let it go. Verse 25 again, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, it doesn't have limits or values on it. The small things I can handle, but that I can't handle. I have a right to get back at him. No, you don't. You do not have that right, especially if you're a Christian. Boy, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, let it drop, leave it, let it go, in order that your Father, who is in heaven, may also forgive you your own failings and shortcomings. Let them drop. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your failings and shortcomings. My own forgiveness is based on how I forgive others.
Amen.
That's why he says, and when you stand praying. Many of us have stood for years and years and years, or thought we have. And all the time, that little thing back there was there. Mm-hmm. And we were deceived into thinking that it's not related. And it is. I've seen that in my own life with things happening to me. I know others have seen that I know and haven't seen it and had to make some major steps to deal with it. Mm-hmm. And blame God all the time because he wasn't moving all the time I wasn't moving.
Right.
I had his hands tied. And it we don't realize it because we think, well, I've forgotten it. No, you haven't. It's been affecting you. It's a root of bitterness. Mm-hmm. It's why it's sucking your spiritual life away. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm talking to somebody. It's your spiritual life being sucked away by bitterness.
Right.
And the thing's dead. It's been gone so many years ago, and it's affecting your entire future and everything you do in your life. But you don't have to. It don't have to. It's a decision away.
Amen.
It really is a decision away. Just turn from it and turn to the living God and the Word and start walking away. That's what he says. That's what you do when you let it drop. Leave it. Let it go. Don't drag it with you. Leave it 20 years ago where it was. 15 years ago yesterday. Leave it there. Let it lay in the day that it was in. Don't take it with you to tomorrow. Leave it back there. That is so important. Because you're not going to go very far with your faith and your life with him with that dragging that.
That's right.
That's a load, and it's a dog collar got you chained up to something that happened 25 years ago or whenever. And we think, well, the guy died. I'm no longer responsible for it. Yeah, you are. He's dead. He can't do anything about it. But she is. Whatever. But you haven't changed. It's still eating you.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And that's what it is. It'll eat you more than it does the other person. Boy. So this is extremely important in our stand. If we're going to move, if we're going to have our sure-footed, solid feet, that's a major thing. Forgive. And remember, forgiveness starts with a decision. And then from there on, it's action. You make a choice and you say, I am not. The same way you got to fight for your peace. Same way you got to fight for that. I will not entertain that thought. I will not. And then you start doing something positive towards the person if they're alive yet. Start doing something. Bless them in some way. Never put your mouth again to what they did. Start saying good things. You might have to say it in faith. You might have to do it like, Father, your word says that you love all men, so therefore you must love him. And therefore I'm responsible to love him, so by faith I love that person.
Amen.
And I bless him, because your word says to bless those who curse you and despitefully use you. Bless and do not curse. So Father, I speak blessings over them. I bless them, I bless them, I bless them, I bless them, I bless them. Make a habit about 25 times a day just saying I bless them. Take some ground back. Do something with your faith. And then don't entertain. If somebody comes up and says, I seen such and such yesterday, the enemy will see to it that that name comes up. See? He wants to get you back where you were because he's slipping. His grip is slipping on you. And you're moving away. He don't want you to slip away because he's held you back all this time. and you're an accident. You're a faith project going somewhere to happen.
Amen.
See, he's going to lose grip on you. He'll lose grip on the other person.
Yep.
And you see, you two are agreeing with each other. You hate each other, so you're agreeing. So you're both having it.
Mm-hmm.
But if one of you start moving away in faith, the other one will slip too.
See? Yep.
All right, he's losing his ground quick. So he's going to say, somebody come by, your best friend come by. You know who I saw the other day walking down the street? And you know who she was with?
Mm-hmm.
And it'll start, and you want to do it again. He said, no. Well, I hope they were happy. I bless them, and then bring that person into your prayer life for them.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way you handle it. That's anything, whatever it is, that's the way you do it. You turn the thing around and be a blessing.
Yes.
Glory to God. Glory to God. When you pray, you speak the word. When you pray for them, you speak the word. That's what you're doing. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
And that's when you've done all to stand.
Hallelujah.
And those are directly related to your ability to stand. James has got Galatians 6:9 here. Let's see what it says. Pardon? Yeah, that's what I thought. That's why you give it to me. And let, Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says, and let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right. For in due time and at the appointed season we shall reap if we do not loosen and relax our courage and faint. And I think the King James says faint in your mind, doesn't it? How does it read there, Mama? King James. I think it says faint in your mind.
It says faint not.
Doesn't one of them say faint in your mind?
Not this one.
Not that one. Okay, there's a verse that talks about fainting in your mind. I don't know which it is, but I thought that was it. But that's usually where we start fainting at. It's mind related.
Mm-hmm.
I'll look it up some other time and find it. But there is one that you faint in your mind. Anyway, so, and let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right. And that's what we want to do. When we keep on doing something and doing it and doing it, and you don't see no movement on the other person, you think, well, I'm not getting nowhere. But you are. You really are. And a lot of times, that anybody that's been in very many fights before, spiritual fights, you'll find out that usually it gets a little worse before it gets better. Why is that? Well, what does the enemy do? But in the natural, there's no difference. In the natural, when you attack something or are putting pressure on something or are trying to get an objective, what does the enemy do? What would you do? You move your troops in there. What happens when you get a cut in your body? What happens to the antibodies? They all rush to that place, don't they? They know right where that cut is. Your body knows. And all your white blood cells will run right to that place. It's reinforcing. There's an attack here. See? And it's the same way with us, spiritually. There's no difference in it. If you put a resistance, he's going to put some pressure too, because he wants you to back off. And if you do, because of the pressure's on, well, it's not fun anymore. It's getting worse. If you stop, and it will get worse
mm-hmm.
for you. And for him too.
That's what
you said. Exactly. Don't ever back off. Never back off. That's what that armor is for. If you'll stay firm, it will move and not you.
Amen.
And remember, when you're doing that, it's not normally the person that will move. It's the devil driving them.
Yeah.
And when the devil driving them moves, then revelation will come to them and God can move in their life. And you, if you're doing the things to stand, if you're standing firm in the Word and you're doing all that you can do to stand, and you're speaking blessings over that person, God can use that. And that particular blessing that you're doing overrides the cursing on the other side. It's a higher law. And you have a right, if you're doing that, you have a right to bind that devil driving him. If you're walking in love and doing the Word, you have a right to do that. You can bind that strong man, and when you bind that strong man, then that person will start receiving word from the Father. Even though he's not born again, understanding will start coming. And he'll see things. He might strike back harder, or her. They might strike back harder, but when they do, they'll go home sad. I shouldn't have done that.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't do anything to me. I shouldn't have said that. You know, and that's what will happen. They'll dream about it, think about it. It might take a year. And the next time they meet you, you still don't accuse them anymore. You never bring up what they did anymore. All you are kind to them.
Amen.
So in the process of time, things start turning. That's the way this works. Pardon?
That's the way God is.
That's the way God is. He never gave up, and we don't have a right to give up. I'm not getting to truth. Is that okay? Well, this is all truth, isn't it? So when it says stand therefore, what stand therefore mean? I got to quit here in a second or two. I'm out of time. Remain stable, fixed, unmoved, committed, 100%. That's what it means to stand. If God doesn't change or move, and you do not change or move, the devil will have to. Now, we all know God never changes. He never moves. He's already settled. Ken said it earlier. You can't earn any more love. He can't love you any more than he already does. And he can't love you anymore, and you can't earn it. You can't let it go. I forget how you said that, but say it again.
He can't love you anymore.
He can't love you any less.
And can't love you any less.
He's the same. He's made his decision. He made it a long time ago, even before the cross. He made it.
Amen.
He settled it, done it. It's always been there. He's unmoving from it. So you know he's stable. And if he give me this word to stand on, and I'm standing on it, it's his word, and he gave it to me, and he's not moving, and I don't move, somebody has to. The pressure's on. And he'll have to move. He can't stay there. And I need to remember that. If you are committed to stand forever, you will not have to stand long. The devil will know you are committed to standing forever, if need be, and he'll leave. See, our commitment to it is what makes the difference. If we're going to try it, it won't work. You can't try this. You got to take your choice out of it and say, I'm going the Word way, and that's it. You can't try the gospel.
Right.
If you're trying to be a Christian, you're not one. You know, you're going to have to, either you are or you're not. I'm not trying to be alive. I'm alive.
Amen.
I'm not trying to be dead. I'm not dead. You know, I'm alive right now for this season. I'm not trying to be alive. And you don't have to try to be dead when you're dead. You're dead. I didn't try to get born. I got born. You know, something happened, and then there I was. You know, 9 months later or whatever. Something happened. There's life there, and life goes on, and it's just the way it is. The sun doesn't go to push up over the horizon every day. It comes up. It just does its thing. And love is that way. When you love, love happens. You know? Same with hate. When you hate, hate happens. Okay, the devil. So if you're prepared to stand forever, you won't be on that situation. The devil will know how committed you are. And because you will tell him with your actions and words. I'm going to restate that because I thought of something else as I was reading it. The devil will know how committed you are because you will tell him with your actions and words.
Amen.
You don't have to. You say, devil, I'm committed. That's not how you tell him. You tell him by what you do.
That's right.
You tell him by how you respond to that pressure when it comes. When that surprising little hit up the side of the head that happened, that you weren't expected, that you were going along smooth, and all of a sudden it happened again. How you respond in that tells him how committed you are. Now, it's one thing to let an emotion come up and pop, and then I make a mistake for a little while. And say, hey, wait a minute. This isn't right. I get a hold of myself. I change my mind right now. Devil, you're not having my faith. You're not having my promise. I reestablish it. No, that's not what I'm talking about. But if you're going along fine and swell because everything's good, and all of a sudden a problem comes up and you're down in the dumps all of a sudden and you stay there and don't get up out of it, he knows you're not really committed to it.
Okay.
And you'll be wishy-washy with it. Mm-hmm. And it'll last. The problem will not go away because you're not doing what's required. And it's going to keep on keeping on until you get strong enough to say, hey, I'm not moving. When I make a mistake, I'm getting right back up again. I told my children, I said it before, God's not looking at how many times you fall. Not looking at that at all. He's looking at how quickly you get up.
Amen.
And he's made a way for you to get up.
Yes.
If you don't get up, then he's not pleased with that.
That's right.
But the devil is. He loves that. Another notch on his pistol. You know? But if you get up, the faster you get up, the shorter your problem will be.
Yes. Hallelujah.
You're going to go through it one way or the other. You can go through it in victory, with joy and peace of God.
That's right.
Or you're going to go through it with misery and hurt and everything else is going to fall apart as you go. With no witness, live your whole life with misery and whatever. Or you can decide, I'm going the Word way.
Amen.
I'm going to place this thing in God's hands and I'm not moving from it.
Amen.
I'm going to allow God to be God. I'm going to give Him freedom to reign in my life.
Amen.
And I'm going to do whatever the Word says, no matter who likes it. I'm going to do that. And when I make a mistake, I'm expecting the Holy Spirit to quicken me.
Yes.
And tell me so.
Hallelujah.
And I'm expecting Him to send people by me to help me with this, where I need to strengthen me.
Right.
People to pray for me. People that will tell me the Word. People that will boldly stand up and say, hey, you're not right here. You got to change this. I want somebody to tell me that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I know I'm off center, and we need people that will say, hey, Mike, you know, have you thought about this? I mean, maybe you need to consider this. And you can do that in a loving way. And I need to have my antenna up for that. You know, and say, hey, wait a minute. God's trying to get something to me. I told a guy one time, well, several times, full circle. If you go to church, and it's as if that pastor's talking to you, because you just got done telling him last week what your problems were. Now all of a sudden the sermon on that, you think he changed it just for you. No, he didn't. He's saying what the Holy Spirit's putting on his heart.
Amen.
And if he's doing that, and you think that's what that pastor's doing, by all means, you better check into it, because that's God talking to you.
Yes.
Amen.
That's right.
You know, I promise you, I'm not talking to anybody or about anybody. I'm just saying what flows. And if he's saying what flows, and it touches you that way, then he's trying to tell you something.
Exactly.
And you better check into it. You better check into it to see what the Spirit is saying to you, because this is a time of grace. If you're hearing that word, He's telling you something by His grace because He loves you. Don't let your pride steal it. You get mad because He's talking about your problem, and then you go out the door mad at Him, you lost what the God's trying to do for you.
Amen.
He's trying to tell you how to get out of it. And a lot of us don't want to face our problems. We just assume nobody talk about it and I'll deal with it in my time. No, you won't. exactly right. And the Holy Spirit is going to be truthful with us. And He's going to do it in a loving way. He won't embarrass you or expose you or anything. He's not after embarrassing you. But He's after telling you the truth so that you can stand up and look in the mirror and say, hey, that's right. That was me He's talking about. It was also 15 other people. And about 1,000 on the road here get this tape, which I'll never see and don't even know. But it's God speaking. And He's saying, Michael, I love you, man. And to go to your next level, you got to do this. And if you want to stay where you are, that's fine. But you'll not become what you're ordained to be. You know, and you'll have to live this on through because you're not willing to make the change. And I love you, but I'm going to tell you the truth. And then that's what I expect God to do, don't you?
Amen.
And that's what we want God to do. So I need to be the same way, is look in the mirror, not condemning myself, because I blew it 500 times yesterday, but look in the mirror and say, Michael, you're better than that. God made you better than that. And He provided everything you need to come up out of that. And that's not a bad thing. I'm not going to condemn myself. I'm just going to say, I'm going to get better. And Lord, I ask you to help me. I just receive your ability in me to quicken me. And I repent of that, and I'm going to step over in here to your grace, because you said you'd cleanse me from all unrighteousness. That's not a heart condition, because my heart's wanting this. It's a head condition. Mm-hmm. So I'm wanting you to change my head. And change my emotions and my behavior here. Because I take account of it. No excuse, sir. No excuse. I don't make excuse. It's not because of anything he did, it's because of what I did. Mm-hmm. I take responsibility for it, and I'm not going to walk out of here mad at myself either. I'm dealing with it. And go on, so it's not heaven. It did happen. As far as God is concerned, it didn't happen. Because he washed it. And if he did it, then I got to do that. You know, if I walk out of it and I keep thinking about it all the time and keep trying to be sorrowful for what I did, then I just bought it back.
Mm-hmm.
You see, his ways are not our ways. We're getting ready to, I'm going to have to quit there, I guess.